Well, we saw a show of hands a moment ago from many new ones. We are very, very thankful you're here. We love you. For all of those that have come back again, we're very thankful that you're here. It's been a long trip for some. Somebody came all the way from Nova Scotia. I've thought of a couple of the songs that we've sung about this evening. And I might just make a comment before we begin. 200. We sang this. He glorified thee on the earth. Do you know what the Lord wants of you and I? He wants that this would be said of us. That as the Lord Jesus glorified the Father, so we would. As I checked in this afternoon, about 1 o'clock, I met the new man that's going to be in charge here. And something was said about our group. Do you know what he said to me? I've already heard about your group. I know it's a good one. We carry Christ through this world every day. How important. He says, he glorified thee on the earth. Thy work by him was done. And that's what the Lord wants out of you and I. That is, the Lord Jesus glorified his Father. And as he was always the man who was subject to his God and Father in every way, the effect of this conference has really been positive when that is coming out of your life and mine. That we're subject to this one. That we are carrying on the work that he has given us to do in the local assemblies. Now, how is this to be? There's another song that we sang. 181. Yes, we see thee. Crowned with glory, highest honor to thee given. But the glory of thy person is the light that shines in heaven. Dear young person, mark this. Thou art greater, glorious Savior, than the glory thou hast won. He is greater, and we want to lift the person of the Lord Jesus before us. As we begin these thoughts tonight, this the greatness of thy glory, ever blessed, thou art the Son. The psalmist said this, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You see, before we go listening to what the Lord wants from you and I need to have a fresh perspective of who he is. The greatness of his person. The greatness of his work. The greatness of his glory. You know, if I've lost that, if I don't have that set before me, in my practical experience here, I will be much like the first man that we're going to study. I'll be like Samson. There may be good things that will come from my life. There may be ways that the Lord will be able to use me. But I will miss his greatest intentions. That he wanted to take the life of this man. And he wanted to use him. He had a will. He had a plan. Let me tell you something. There was nothing wrong on God's side. And that's what we're here about this week. Nothing wrong on his side. The problem is always on ours. I want you to turn to Psalm 33, before we go to Isaiah 1, I'll look at my clock. I'll try to keep within about 20 minutes. But these verses have freshly come before me today. I'll read them first. Psalm 33, at the middle of verse 5. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Listen to this. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood still. Let us exalt his name together. You know, it's a wonderful way to begin the conference, to begin speaking of the greatness and of the glory of the one that we belong to. Everybody here, I'm sure, has seen the ocean. I'm sure everybody has been and seen the beach, a wonderful. And, you know, we might stand and look, and perhaps we can see for 20 miles. As they were searching for the young man, the two young men on the boat, just before Christmas, I was struck by the fact that those who came on to say, "The search is ended," could say, "We have searched 50,000 square miles, and there's not a trace of them anywhere." Sounds like a whole lot. It is a drop in the bucket. Think, when I went overseas years ago, we flew. It seemed like 20 hours over the water. Young person, he spoke, and it was done. Think of that. I like the mountains. I love to see the grandeur and the beauty. This summer we were out west and we saw Mount Hood from the plain. And we saw the vast mountain ranges as we went from Seattle to Spokane. And I thought, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Young person, the one that we belong to spoke, and it was done. But I want to give you a sphere. You see, this little ball that we live on is minute. When we go out on a clear night, and we look into the heavens, and the greater the telescope, the further we see. And then we begin to try to think and imagine in our mind how far and how big. And we can't. We don't have the mental capacity. He spake, and it was done. And he created the stars also. This is our Redeemer. And he went to Calvary. And that is the greatest of any work that has ever been done. Do you know something? The one that was the masterpiece, master architect, has an interest in a tiny little speck of clay here upon this ball, this globe called the earth. Do you realize how little we are when we look at the universe that he has created. But he has an interest in each one of us. He has a will. He has a plan. He has desires. And he wants to use you and I. He wants our lives to be just as we sang, to be the lives of men and women that bring glory and honor to his name. Do you know something? Heaven will never reveal there was a problem with him. It'll never be. It will always show that when something didn't work, it was you and I. It is our heart. And that brings us to the springboard. I think I called it in the outline. The springboard from which we're going to go into the life of Samson tomorrow morning. Look at this verse from Isaiah. And I'm sure you've seen it. Isaiah chapter 1. And let's read it together. And I hope that you'll pray over it tonight. I hope that the first time that you've seen this verse is not just now, here, as I speak of it from the platform. If ye be willing and obedient. Now listen to this. The one that made the heavens, the one that created the universe, the one that created you, has made such a statement. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And we look at a verse like that and say, why does a Christian ever have a problem in his or her life? With such a promise as this, how is it that some that we know and some that may be in this room come here with things mixed up and turned around and twisted? How do we ever have problems? Well, you're just like Emil and John and Tony and myself and David. We sometimes are not willing. And God knows it. In the Western culture, we've been taught that yes might mean no, and no might mean yes. I'll tell you something, God doesn't deal that way. Willing with him means that. Submitted. In subjection to. My will bowed to his desires. And young people, it means nothing less than that. There's no gray areas with the God that we belong to. We create gray areas. There are none with him. Can I prove it? Look at the next verse. But if ye refuse. Wait a minute, Chuck, that's awful strict. Aren't there some areas between being willing and refusing? You're pretty straight-laced. You've got it wrong. It's not my word. It's God's word. And he says what he means. And oh, dear young people, he means what he says. So it's either a matter of being willing, it's a matter of refusing. Nothing else in the verses that we've seen. But listen, he says, if you be willing and obedient. Ah, that's nice, isn't it? To see the one who said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. The one that said, I do always those things that please the Father. That those very characteristics would be coming out in his children as we're left here in this world. Isn't that something? Listen to the promise that he makes. If you be willing and obedient. If you read the outline, you'll see it doesn't say you might. It doesn't say you could. It says you shall. And it's as sure as the one that made the promise. Now, I said to some this afternoon, I like to parallel this verse with a verse in the New Testament that we can make the link. We probably, most of us here, there's a couple of us here that are farmers. Most of you would say, well, what do you mean eat the good of the land? I'm not a farmer. That's not me. Do we want a verse from the New Testament? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your intelligent service. Now, I'll tell you something. There may be a lot of things that Emil can do, or John, or Tony, or David, or me. But I'll tell you what I can never do. I can never present your body to anyone. No. Wherever you come in contact, the greatest speaker you may ever hear, he cannot do that. You alone can do that. Have you? I remember hearing Dr. Patterson at Grove City years ago express in one of the readings that the presentation of my body to Christ to use for his service almost never happens at conversion. But it's later, down the road, having been saved, that I realize that the one that has saved me is worthy that my life would be given to him. Young people, where are we? Where are we? Is he the most important thing in our lives? Are his interests my interest? I'm not telling you don't have to go to school and you don't have to work. We have to do all of these things. We know it. But on top of the triangle are the things of Christ first, or are they maybe second or third? I don't know where he comes, but I know what is necessary. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen to this now. That ye might prove what is. Listen to this. Listen to what God's will is. That ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You mean that I'm to... Yes, that's not heaven. That's not in the glory. That's here upon this earth. And that is his desire for you and I. He wants to put his blessing upon your life. He wants to bless you. Where are you? Am I willing? Am I obedient? I can be unwilling but obedient, in a sense. That's the legalist. He knows he should, and so he does, or she does, but their heart is not in it. I can say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm waiting for the Lord to get me up in the morning to read. I'm waiting for the Lord to make me pray. I'm waiting for the Lord to do all of these things. And the Lord says, wait a minute, dear young person, you have it backwards. I don't do those things. You must. I don't put Peter's sandals on him. He's capable of putting his own on. I don't put his robe on him. I don't pick him up and carry him. What do I do? Well, when he comes to the iron gate, I open it. And when the mountains are there, I specialize in removing mountains. I'm going to tell you something. If you take Tony aside, or John, or Emil, or John and Jami, and you ask us, well, dear brother, is that really true? I believe you'll get an earful. I think you'll hear brothers who have raised families and gone on for a few years, and they're all going to tell you the same. There's nothing, nothing to compare with giving and serving the Lord. If ye be willing and obedient. Now, what am I obedient to? What about the willing part? I put a little aside in that outline. I think it starts at home. In my relationship with my parents. Anybody here have a bad relationship with your parents? Oh, young person, work on it. Work on it. Do you have a problem with some brothers in the meeting? Pray for them. Go work on it. It's a serious thing. A willing heart. Oh, how God can use a willing heart of a brother or a sister. And then the obedience. That's where I got into trouble as a kid, you see, with parents. I was a good one to say, yes, I'll do it. And when I was out of sight, I didn't. Is that familiar with anybody? I doubt I'm alone in that, you see. That's the old man. That's human nature. And what we're talking about is the new man. The man that feeds on Christ. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. You will have the very best that Christ has for you. I'm not talking about the things of this world. I'm not talking about money and homes and jobs and these things. But I'm talking about the sense that you belong to one who has total, absolute control, and he will be all to you that you will ever need as long as you're here. What a springboard. What a nice introduction to think of the man Samson as we take his life up tomorrow. How much God wanted to do with that man. How many advantages he had. But wait a minute. How many do you have? You see, Samson's gone. We're still here. We're going to talk about Joseph. Joseph's gone. We're still here. And young people, we're left not with a history book, not with a book to give us right facts. It does that. But we're left with a book that is the living Word of God. And the resident within us, if we belong to Christ, who will open Samson's life and will help me to see. Chuck, don't make the mistake that he made. Be like Joseph. I may look at David. Don't make the mistakes that he made. Learn from my word. Many a young person has learned from bitter experience. Satan is a terrible taskmaster, and he does not care about you. He does not care how he hurts you. He does not care of the long-term effect on your life of bad decisions. He cares for none of that. But your Lord Jesus not only died for your sins, but He lives that you and I might bring glory to God with our lives while we're here. Not in heaven. Heaven, there'll be reward. We know. We'll be with the Lord. But dear young people, we're talking about now, here. So pray. Pray much about the state of our own hearts. And dear young person, ask the Lord that He would help each one of us in this room. See, Tony and John and Emil and myself and John and John, we haven't graduated. We don't have diplomas. We're still learning. Stella's still learning. Nancy's still learning. There's lessons to learn as long as the Lord leaves us here. So we will pray for you. We're glad that you're here again. And we just will look to the Lord to open His word to us that we might be blessed from the lessons that we will have. May we just ask God's blessing.
Again, we thank the Lord for thoughts that we had this evening. And I thought this was quite an appropriate start for our study, this time that we're going to have together, these 2.5 days. I think even the hymn that we just sung together, the thought of being more than just conquerors, just not being satisfied the Lord tarries to go home, having spent time together, having fellowship together, having broken bread if the Lord tarries tomorrow together, but to really go home, having a real commitment. And I think that as young people, these are opportunities that the Lord has given to you, given to all of us, as the word is open, to make commitments to Him.
Amen.
He wants to hear you communicate with Him that the things that have been presented are more than just good words, more than just adding some scriptural knowledge to your knowledge base, but that in hearing these divine things, hearing the voice of the Lord, that you say, Lord, I want to be more like You. Lord, I want to drop these things off. Lord, I want to be baptized. Lord, I want to remember You. Lord, I want to be more obedient to parents and all of these kinds of things. So it is a real call for us as we sit together.